Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for next 2 hours. The first hour, we'll be talking to Anchor about a couple of special weeks that are coming up, one this week and one next week. And then between 1 and 2, I'll have Peter, our private eye, in to tell us what he's been up to. We've missed him the last couple of months, so it'll be great to have him along. I have with me this afternoon from Anchor. You know all about Anchor. We've had them in from time to time. We've got Heidi, who's the big chief down there, the CEO. We're going to be talking to Craig and also Amy. So welcome all.
Thank you.
You've got to all say something. It's radio. Nobody can hear you unless you say something.
Lovely, Amy, to be here again.
Amy, I don't think your microphone's turned on, is it?
I think it is.
Yes, it is. Yep, yeah. we got you that time. Righto, Heidi. We're going to talk about two particular weeks, and this week is Kinship Week, and I believe next week is Carers Week. What is kinship, and what's the difference between that and foster care?
Great question. So kinship care is really the instance where a child who is unable to live with their birth parents for whatever reason is placed with an extended family member. Most often the family member is a grandparent. That's the most common. But it can be an aunt, can be an uncle, can be a cousin, or it could be, you know, another extended family member. Sometimes it's a person who has known the child for a long time and they feel comfortable with. So essentially it's someone in the child's network that they really already know.
Is it short term, Heidi?
No, it can be. Well, it can be short, very short term, medium term, long term. Very similar to the other care services, your foster care and residential care, can be any length of time, just depending on, you know, what's going on for the birth parents, and can the children be reunited or go back to their birth parents, or can they not, or will that take some time, you know, etc. So really, kinship is about the child being placed with somebody that they know. But I guess that what people maybe don't perhaps appreciate enough is that if a child is being removed because of, you know, obviously some form of trauma to do with their birth parents, it's not going to be a happy situation. And if a child then lands with another part of the family or a family friend, etc., it's going to set up that person for some really difficult relationship management with the birth parents. Yep. And in fact, just this last week, we had Mary Doyle, who's the new member for Aston. She is actually a kinship carer. And she described to our staff and kinship, some carers that were there, that, you know, it's been a difficult road for her navigating the relationship between the child that she have, who is her great niece, and her father, the great niece's father. Right. So it's all pretty good now, but it wasn't always, because he's not very well.
So just quickly, what's the difference between kin and foster care?
So, well, foster care are volunteers, people who come forward as volunteers to look after children that are not related to them. So in the most cases, vast majority of cases, these are complete strangers to children when they're placed in their care.
Right. All right. I know we're going to talk to Amy next, just to find out a bit about her travels. Yes. I'm just going to take one quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to Anchor this afternoon. We've been talking to Heidi, who's the CEO there, and she's been telling us the difference between kinship and also foster care. It's kinship week this week and foster care next week. And I know Heidi will be talking later on that that they do need a whole lot more foster carers. But we're going to talk to somebody that's really involved with this, Amy. Welcome, Amy.
Hi.
And I believe that you are a kinship carer. So what, without giving away too many secrets that we don't want to delve too much, what actually got you involved with being a kinship carer?
So I was actually my husband and I were working on becoming foster carers, and we were at the very last stage of that. So we were waiting for the panel interview, and that was during COVID lockdown that we were actually doing all of that process, and we'd done all the training. And I got a phone call from my sister, who had one of her staff members crying at work. And in talking to her, she found out that her nephew was about to go into a group home and he was only 12. He wasn't suitable for the foster care system. He'd already been in 7 homes from the age of 7 and he was 12. She was not in a position to be able to take him in. She's only in her early 20s and worked retail, so late nights, and lived on her own. So she wasn't in a position that she could take in a 12-year-old, especially one that had been through so much significant trauma. And being that my sister knew that we were looking into foster care, she thought that maybe we could take him in. So it wasn't our plan to take in a 12-year-old. Definitely wasn't our plan to take in someone full time. We were kind of thinking we would start off easy, maybe do some weekend relief and ease into this, especially during COVID lockdown. That was, that we were going to start once we opened back up. But this child was in really big need for a home, and I couldn't see a 12-year-old going into a group home with 14 and 15-year-olds. I didn't think that was the right place for him to be. We got a phone call from Child Protection after we'd said, we're interested. And we had a conversation with them about his background and just trying to get some understanding of where he was coming from. And then we met with him and his auntie and his great nan for dinner. 2 days later, we took him out for the day and I got him to meet my family. And 3 days later, he was in our care. It was really fast.
So how long have you had this child, Amy?
2.5 years. So he has been with us long term. The initial plan was that we were hoping he would be able to be reunited with his mum, and that has not been the case, unfortunately. She's just not well enough to be able to have him in her life at the moment. So unfortunately for him, he's actually separated his brother. He has 2 brothers that are in another carer's home, and they are on the other side of Melbourne, so long way from us. And he also has a little sister that's still with his mum. So he's actually separated from all of his siblings as well, which is a really challenging thing for him.
Amy, without asking you too much, have you got any children of your own?
No, my husband and I can't have kids, and my husband's actually on the spectrum, so he's autistic. So we weren't quite sure whether we would be accepted as foster carers, to be honest. We didn't know whether that would be a challenge. But it wasn't. They're really open to all types of people caring for people because, you know, people come from all different types of families. So it was really nice to know that they were very open-armed and accepting of people being different.
Amy, so at what stage did Anchor get involved? Because you're talking to this other person who knows this child. So when did Anchor get involved with you?
So Anchor got involved in my first 12 months. So they first were just a support person. So our case was looked after by Child Protection, but we actually had an Anchor person help us with, she was just like a life saver. She helped me with schooling. Obviously, you know, he's in high school and I didn't know anything about schooling, and making sure that we had all the right meetings and all the right learning plans in place, and making sure that I had Medicare cards and birth certificates and all that stuff that, you know, you don't think of at the time when they arrive with their 3 shopping bags worth of goods. Yeah, so they really helped me navigate that. They helped me navigate family because, as Heidi was saying earlier, I do have a lot to do with his family. He sees his auntie really regularly and his great nan as often as we can. She is a bit older, so it's a bit of a challenge. She's in the northern suburbs. But we do try and include them in our Christmases and we try and mingle our families as much as possible so that he feels really comfortable. But yeah, she helped me with that as well because, you know, you're trying to deal with family, complex family situations as well that I've never had anything to do with.
All right, Amy, so let me just ask you this. Most couples, and I'm not talking about now involved with Anchor or anything, I'm talking about a normal family who have their own children. So you get a baby into your house and they squawk and they wake up during the night and all that sort of stuff, and then you've got to train them on the toilet and all this. But you're gradually, they're growing and so is your knowledge. All of a sudden you've got no child in your house and all of a sudden you've got a 12-year-old. Like, how do you and your husband cope with that straight off?
Yeah, it was the first 12 months was a real challenge because it's not just a little person that's in your house. It's a teenager who has his own opinions and his own background and his own information on how the world works, and it's definitely not exactly the same as ours.
And we had... I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah. To add to the complexity is he's also got other issues. It's not like that what you're saying, you know, he's got his own views or da-da-da-da-da, but he's also bringing with him quite a bit of baggage, I would have thought.
A lot of trauma. A lot of trauma. So we got a really good psychologist involved early on, a private one. I initially paid for that myself and then it was covered by payments. But, yeah, we got a good psychologist involved that we could actually help us as become better parents, even though you're not parents. Yep. And it's even navigating what do they call you, because it's not like they're little, so they're not going to call you mum and dad. They've already got a mum and dad. So, you know, how do they explain at school who you are when they're calling you by your first name? It's all those kinds of things that are really quite complicated too. We have Amy Day instead of Mother's Day, and we have Dale Day. We just had Dale's Day on Sunday, my husband. So, you know, he still gets to thank us for what we do for him, but we don't take the place of his parents. It was a really big challenge, and we went into lockdown 4 weeks after we took him as well, so I had to homeschool. Let's just say that my backyard got a bit of a racetrack where I paced trying to work full time and homeschool. I definitely listened to all my friends whinge, and then I really understood how difficult that was. I was doing it myself.
I've got to take a quick break, but just very quickly, does this young child or young person have any contact with his father and his mother or not?
Not anymore. He's made the choice that it's not in his best interest mentally for him to be in contact at the moment. He's doing some great work with his psychologist to build some resources so that he can actually, hopefully, in a couple of years, be able to have that contact again.
All right, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. It's been a while. I know I shouldn't have kept you waiting, but I'm here now. I know it's been a while, but I'm glad you came. And I've been thinking about how you say my name. You've got my body spinning like a hurricane. And it feels like you got me going insane. And I can't get enough, so let me get it out. Scared everyone now.
This part. Oh.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Anchor this afternoon for the first hour, and we've been talking to Amy, and we've been talking about kinship and what she's done towards it. But next week is Foster Care Week, so we're going to do the two together. So welcome to you, Craig.
Thanks, Tom.
And how long have you been a foster carer?
I actually went through the training in 2019, so 4 years now.
And when did you get your first child?
Shortly after I finished the training, so sort of second half of 2019.
Yep.
So I think we've had 11 placements over the period of being foster caring.
11 placements? Gee, that's all. How many at a time?
Usually one, but I had a brother and sister at one stage, a 6 and 8 year old. Yep. So that was good. But I'm more into emergency and...
Right. So all of a sudden, Anchor get a child that needs foster care in a hurry, and you're the sort of person they come to.
They do. And the other thing is, quite often foster carers need a bit of a break, yep. And I do a bit of respite care for other foster carers. So they might need a weekend off, or they've got a wedding they're going to, or whatever.
So what made you get involved?
I guess I've just always loved kids, and I've always wanted to do foster care, but my wife was never really keen on it, so we never looked at it. And then she passed away in 2018, so I thought, right, here's my chance. And it's been great.
So that brings up an interesting point, that what you obviously don't need special talents. You've just got to be a stable person with a stable home. Is that right?
I think so. You've just got to be prepared to listen to kids and spend a bit of time with them.
Heidi, is that right? When you talk, and I know we're going to talk very briefly about you wanting foster carers, but you're not looking for people with special talents. Is that right, Moira?
I think all our foster carers have very special talents.
No, you know what I mean.
whether they know it or not. Yeah. I think people think, well, you know, I have to be married and I have to have children or have to had children, or I have to have a home with a certain number of bedrooms, or I can't rent, or I can't be in a same-sex relationship, or I can't be young and I can't be old, you know. So I think people have a lot of preconceived ideas about what a foster carer might look like. Yeah. We sort of absolutely advocate for people to come in from all walks of life. Because the kids that we have come in from all walks of life. So, you know, you need that variety.
Mm. Craig, obviously you said your wife's passed away. Did you have, when you started foster care, did you have any children of your own at home?
No, I've got a son. He's 36. He lives in Sydney. He's in the Navy. So, he spread his wings long ago.
So... You've had about 11 children. What would you say is the best aspect that you've got from it? Because in any of these things, I mean, the child brings something into you. So what's been for you the best outcome?
I think one placement I had with a 14-year-old boy, and he, I remember we were sitting there one Saturday night just having a chat, And I said, my God, you've been through things I couldn't even imagine.
True.
I really admire you. And I said, my favourite book is A Fortunate Life by Aidan Fassey. I said, I'd like you to read it. He said, I don't read books. So I bought it and I gave it to him. And he actually read the first chapter. I don't know if he went past that, but he read it, which was magic.
So do you take children, like Amy was talking about, a lot of those children are traumatised. Are some of yours children that you get traumatised, or are they just, for some reason, they can't live with their family?
I think any kid that's been in the foster care system has been traumatised in some way.
Have they?
Most of them have been through lots of trauma.
In your case, and I know you're only doing it short term, do you have any involvement with their parents, either their mother or the father, or it's a case of you get them and you look after them for a week, two or whatever, and then them hand you back?
I haven't had any contact with parents in my experience.
All right, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Passing my garden one time, she stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip and not flowers that she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say: you know that girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. She knows not to speak to my child and me. My neighbor then smiled, and I thought, screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. For my neighbor's one child had been dragged from its path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl who lived down the street.
So unless you've made no mistakes in your life, just be careful of stones that you throw.
That song was a bit different. It was a great Johnny O'Keefe, and we normally hear him as a rock and roller, but that's just a bit quieter for him. But just a quick reminder, on this Sunday night between 6 and 8, Matt Shaw will be here with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. It was my turn last Sunday. I'll be back Sunday week, but Matt will put together a terrific show. Probably guarantee that Johnny O'Keefe will be among it. But anyway, we're talking to Anchor. I've got both Amy Craig and Heidi with me. First of all, let me say to Amy and Craig, I think you both do a fantastic job. It's times is hard enough bringing your own child up without taking on a child that A, has got very often got trauma attached to them, and in the case of Craig and Amy talked about children have been through a number of homes and must be terribly upsetting for them. Now, we know that foster carers week's coming up next, and Heidi, you and I have talked about the desperate need for foster carers. So if people are listening today, what's the sort of person you're looking for, and what is there an age group? Or I gather you're going to tell me as long as they're still breathing that you almost want them. But
no, look, I think if you listen to what Craig said, you've actually got to like children. You've actually got to like children, and you've got to be prepared to be able to listen to them and to give them a voice. Because if you spend that time, they will reveal to you what they think is important and how best, you know, they would like to be treated. So someone needs to really, you know, like children. Some people need to have a little bit of time for children. You know, they need to put some time aside because, you know, these kids deserve that. Yep. They actually deserve your time. I think people need to be, I mean, we talked about being stable, not being stable. I mean, what is stable? I think that all the foster carers we have are very different to each other, but they come with their own life wisdom. Yeah. And they might be in their, you know, sort of in their 20s, or they might be in their 60s. And that's okay. You know, I think people who have... The most likely people that we have ringing us to be foster carers are probably people around the 40-ish mark whose kids are potentially coming towards the end of primary school, and they think, well, we've still got a while to go with our parenting, you know. Yep. with the kids, but maybe we could have a couple of younger kids come in and we could really make a difference to their life. So we often hear from that group of people. But equally, I think that, you know, Amy's given us a really good example of herself, that where she was at in her life, and Craig also in his life. So I think you can see they're in two very different parts of their lives. So, look, you know, I think the best thing for people to do, seriously, is to give us a call and to just have a conversation. And I really, really... I suppose stress that if you have any desire whatsoever, and even if you have thought about it or haven't thought much about it, I'd love people to have a conversation with us. They can make an inquiry through the website, or they can ring us directly, and we have people who can talk them through, you know, that the whole process, and we'll explain to them, you know, that at any time during the process they can opt out. That's okay if they feel that, look, maybe this is not for me, that's okay. But, you know, we sort of give an idea about how long it takes. It usually takes about 6 months to get right through the process from the very beginning to the end, and when you have your first child come and stay with you. People can start with respite care or just over weekends and that sort of thing. So, you know, I mean, we are very much looking for people who can make a more of a long-term commitment, like Amy is with the young, with the child that she has with her. You know, there are children out there, many children out there, who are sort of going from one place to the other and looking for their sort of forever home, I guess, for their longer term home.
Heidi, how long on average, and this is probably how long is a piece of string, how long does it take? Because I can imagine if a child has been, like Amy's had to a number of people looking after them, how long does it take for them to feel settled enough to start to say to the foster carer, hey, these are all my problems? I mean, do they, a bit like Amy said, they come in and they've got all their own ideas, as she said, about finances and all that. How long does it take for them to start to really feel at home? Do you know?
Oh, I think you're right, Alan. It is a bit, you know, how long's a piece of string. It's got very much to do with the individual child themselves.
Yep.
Some children, I mean, I've got to say that if a child came to you and felt like they were settled and prepared to do anything you said, I'd be worried, because that's actually not more. I'd be worried about that. I think, you know, that one of the things that we know about children is that it doesn't matter what has happened to them, they still very strongly identify with birth parents. And you know, they still, even if they've been removed from their parents from a very young age, they're still very much focused on their identity being their own birth parents. And I think that, you know, Amy would know, you know, sort of know of this, of navigating around, you know, and I think what she said before was fantastic, of the young person that she has. He has made the decision that it's not quite right for him at the moment. And she's obviously really had to support him through that, you know, that I'm not going to see my parents for a while. But I think that, I think there's a difference between settling into a household routine. And I think, you know, if you can sort of establish a routine early, that's good. You know, this is the way we do things around here. Kids will sort of adapt. But I think you've got to slow it down, you know, and you've got to slow it down and go, this is the way. And you know, I've known children that have never used knives and forks. I've known children that have never sat at tables.
True.
I've known children that have never had anything to eat but hot chips. You know, so coming into someone else's home where, we sit around the table, you know, and we use knives and forks and things, it can be really quite a, gosh. And I think that, you know, a lot of the kids, they want to please you. So they want to please you, and they want that, you know, because it's a survival mechanism. If they can please the adult enough, then, that adult will look after me and whatever. So I think it's really, really tricky, Alan, you know, that how long is a piece of string? And sometimes, you know, sometimes some kids just don't settle into a family. It's just not for them. And that's important to recognise.
Now, Heidi, how does Anchor support these parents?
Okay, well, certainly in our foster care program, we are on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We have case managers that, you know, visit regularly, catch up with the child regularly, catch up with the carer regularly. Look, that can be once a week sometimes, it can be twice a month, once a month, etc. And look, you know, at any time people are available on the phone for both, you know, kinship carers and foster carers, because we understand that, you know, almost daily something comes up of, I'm not quite sure how to handle it. You know?
That's bad enough for parents, let alone.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, we are always available. And I think that, you know, I think the main thing carers would talk about is wanting Anchor, and we try extremely hard at this, wanting that sort of person to help them navigate the system. So the system of Centrelink and payments and the department and child protection and all these people that are involved in kids' lives, it just, you know, it can be eye-watering at times how many people are involved. And I think carers, you know, what we try to do is try to help them navigate all of those people.
Heidi, you've talked a bit about wanting foster carers, and I think it's a great effort, but we haven't given the contact details. We've talked, said Ruth Maria, so if you could give us all the details, please.
So if people want to go through the website, it's anchor.org.au, or if they want to give us a call, it's 8761 9040. And just ask to speak to somebody about foster care. Fairly easy.
So that's anchor.org.au or 8761 9040. Do you have a Facebook page too? Yes, I know because I was on it.
Anchor, you can look us up on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. You can look us up in a number of ways. And I would just really encourage people just to, you know, to start that conversation. And, you know, we are in desperate straits right across Australia. Volunteering is a little bit of a dying art in our community. And, you know, our kids, the kids that can't live with their families, it's not their fault. They desperately need foster carers to look after them.
And I think you've said before, Heidi, that from your professional opinion that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, we have a growing population of children coming into care. We've got, life's getting tougher. That means that more children will probably need care. Parents are not able to care for them, or things are going wrong for them. It's pretty desperate right across Australia, particularly in Victoria, that there's many more carers leaving the system than there is coming into the system. So, you know, if we don't save this very, very important activity, it'll be an extremely sad day. So,
and for the young people. Heidi, unfortunately, I've got to go. The 1 o'clock news is knocking. First of all, have a great trip away. I know you're going away.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Alan.
And to Amy and Craig, I think the two of you are doing a fantastic job. And it's not easy to bring somebody else's child in, as I said before, that's probably got other problems with them. And I think the both of you are doing a fantastic job, and it's been terrific talking to the two of you today. And Heidi.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Again, give them a phone number, 8761-9050 or anchor.org.au. And
give us a call.
Give them a call. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you today. Thank you very much, one and all.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye
now.